And we're holding on page Lamed in Brachos, the last line, middle, so it's middle of Os Mem Hey. We were talking about the wealth that the Jewish people brought out of Mitzrayim, and how Hashem had to plead with Moshe to in turn plead with the Jewish people to take it, because we said they said otherwise they would have said, why should we bother, or we want to just get out of here, or like Akosef said, they would have thought it seems like a very immoral thing to do, etc. By the way, to correct and to add to a couple of things from yesterday. First of all, the thing that I'd said about the thing that I'd brought about that maybe they borrowed only from the goyim who lived in the areas where the Jews lived, but not in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That was actually from the Tzlach. I'd attributed it incorrectly. The other thing about that maybe they would have been afraid that the goyim in their grief would attack them. That is in fact from the Torah Tmimah. Another point to mention, Rabbi Elzeva mentioned to me afterwards, a balabatish reason you could say, how comes it that there was so much more wealth by Kriyas Yamsuf than there was by Yetzias Mitzrayim? Practically speaking, when they're coming to borrow the treasures from the Goyim, they can't very well borrow everything. That would be suspicious. Necessarily, they can only borrow Lechura relatively little, whatever it seemed logical that they're going to need when they're going on this three-day trip into the Midbar to bring Karbonis to Hashem. Whereas when the Mitzrayim were going to chase after them, why would they take so much more of their wealth along? Is because the Pashtus, they bedecked their horses and their chariots with it. Rashi mentions that they bedecked their horses, right? But the point is that would explain why they took out so much more. Is it why you think of it? Why would they be taking their jewelry along when they're going to attack the Jews? So you have the idea Rashi mentions, or the Medrash mentions, whatever, that Pare opened up his treasuries and offered it to all of them. But also you could say that they themselves took their own treasures and used them to decorate their horses and whatnot. Okay, anyway, so continues the Gemara. Vayash ilum, the Pasuk says they lent them the things. So the Loshen Vayash ilum, Marsha points out that you have an extra mem. If it just meant that they lent it, it could have said Vayash ilum. Vayash ilum suggests a certain Baal Korcham. Omer Rav Ami, Malamachi, Shilum Baal Korcham. Means they lent it to them against their will. Well, against whose will? Ikka da'amri ba'al kochim de Mitzrayim. Some say it was against the will of the Mitzrayim. Now, to be sure, the pasuk says vayitn Hashem eschena am. But nevertheless, you have Marsha brings from the Medrash that says that they from the Mechilta that a yid would say, I want you to lend. Can you lend me such and such? And the goy would say, I don't have it. And the yid would tell him, I saw it by you by makas chosha. So in that sense, it was like against the they would have the Mitzrayim would have liked to hide that they have such and such, but they couldn't get away with it. The Ikadamni Baal Kochim Yisrael, the other opinion is it was against the will of the Jewish people. Because like we said yesterday, they were just saying, let's get out of here already and let's not have to bother that the Mitzrayim are going to chase after us to the Yamsuf to get back their treasures, et cetera, et cetera. Right, well, okay, so Ruach HaKodesh shows, okay, so, yeah, I mean, the famous thing we know, well, Ruach, I mean, it is a chiddush, yeah. I mean, I guess you could say that the Ruach HaKodesh means that it rested on them during Makas Choshech, that they were able to go in and look around. But yeah, it's true. The Loshen is unusual. The Loshen is interesting, yeah. Okay. Anyway, man de omer baal kochem de Mitzrayim, the opinion that it was against the will of the Mitzrayim, we learn that from the Pasuk Dichtiv. You have a Pasuk, Kapitel Samach Ches of Tilim, a part of it talks about Yitzias Mitzrayim, part of it talks about Matan Torah. In fact, there are kahilas where they have the minhag for that reason to say it on Shavuos in particular. Anyway, so you have a pasuk and they unvas bayis to chalik sholo. The one who lives in the house are going to divide the spoil. So the fact that we're calling it spoils implies that they got it from the Mitzrayim against their will. Now, the Pnei Yeshua points out an interesting thing in it as well. The fact that we're calling it spoils also implies that they had to divide it equally among all the Jews. If it was that, if it weren't for that, then we would say each person, whatever they borrowed, they get to keep. But because we're calling it sholol, and it was meant ultimately as payment for the fact that the Jewish people collectively were all enslaved by the Mitzrayim, therefore they ended up divided it equally among themselves, like you would in spoils of war. Whereas the opinion that says it was against the will of the Jewish people is Mishum Masu, because they figured, why should we bother schlepping along all that stuff? It's just going to slow us down. The pasuk continues, Vayinatzlus Mitzrayim, that when they took out all this wealth, they emptied out Mitzrayim. So Omer Abami, Melamed Shasa'uha Kimitsuda Shein Badogan. It teaches us that they made Mitzrayim like a trap that has no, like a net that has no grain in it. This is also the... Rashi explains when you're trapping birds, you put out a net or you put out some kind of trap, and you put grain over there in order to attract the birds. No grain, it's not going to attract anything. The same way Mitzrayim was emptied of all its wealth. The Rashbam and Tosfos, this is also in Psachim. Rashbam and Tosfos explain over there that he's darshaning the word vayinatzlu, something that we have, the letters Dalet and Lamed, both are made in the same way in the mouth, with the tongue pressing against the back of the teeth, therefore one can interchange with the other, so therefore vayinatzlu can be meloshin vayinatzdu, which is meloshin mitzuda. And Rish Lakish Rama Malamed Asur Kintzula Shein Vadogim. Rish Lakish says that they made it like the depths of the sea that are empty of fish, because fish only live in the shallower waters where they can find food. Ben Yehoyada, I think it is, explains that the difference is if we say Kintzula Shein Vadogon. Listen, even if you remove the grain from the trap, inevitably there's going to be bits and pieces left in the crevices or something. Whereas Kintzula Shein Vadogon is completely void of fish. So therefore, the argument would be how completely did they empty Mitzrayim of its wealth. Another thing in this connection of earlier we have in Parshas Shemos, Hashem appears to Moshe by the snare, and Moshe says, if the Jewish people ask me, Mashmoi, Ma'oim Ra'aleim, and Hashem tells him, Ekya Asha Ekya. So on one level, that's the name of Hashem. On another level, it means literally, I will be what I will be. So why the double expression? And not only that, you have further on in the pasuk, Vayomer, Ekya Shalav, Kosoim Ra'aleim, Ekya Shalachani Aleichem. So why is there the Vayomer in the middle? What happened in between? So Omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe, Leichamer Lahem LeYisrael, go tell the Jewish people, Ani Hoyisi Imachem B'Shibud Zeh, I was with you all along in this subjugation, in this Golos of Mitzrayim, Vani Ei Imachem B'Shibud Golis, I will be with you in the future subjugations, in the future Golis. But Moshe says, it's enough to deal with one trouble at a time. Why am I telling the Jewish people now of the troubles that they're going to have in the future? Hashem tells him, you're right. So only mention the one. Which Marsha explains, actually, and you actually have in the printed Chumashim, you can find it as a parenthetical note inside Rashi. It's not from Rashi himself. Somebody added it on the margin of their copy of Rashi, and eventually it made its way into print. That the point is not that Hashem changed his mind, chas v'shalom. What it means is that Eibishter is telling Moshe, and this is what Marsha says, you misunderstood. You thought that I'm saying that you should tell them ekya asha ekya, that with the message that, in other words, there were going to be future goldies. No, that's only for you to know. For the Jewish people, I meant, b'chatchila, you should only tell them ekya shlachani aleichem, just that I've been with you in this goddess. It's not considered officially one of the Sheva Shemus, but it is one of the Shemus Shainim Nimchokim, depending on how you count them. Yeah, I mean, there's different ways of counting the Shemus Shainim Nimchokim. I don't believe that Rambam lists it in the Sheva Shemus Shainim Nimchokim. Yeah, no, but it is definitely considered a name of Hashem all three times that it says Ekye in that pasuk is considered a name of Hashem. Not, of course, the word that says the word Eye in other places in Fumish. And yeah, I mean, in Zohar and Chassidus, when it talks about the different how the different Shemus map to different, we know they map to the different spheres, Keol to Chesed, Elikim to Gvura, etc. So it talks about, I think, in some places it talks about that Ekya corresponds to Keser, and Ekya Asha Ekya to Keser Elyon, and there was one Ekya to Keser to Keser Tacht, and yeah, so yeah. Next. Since we're mentioning, we're darshaning a double expression like that with Hashem's name, so the Gemara also darshans a similar double expression that you have elsewhere in Tanakh. Aneni Hashem Aneni, by Har HaCarmel, when Eliyahu has brought his korban and is asking Hashem to show that to send down a fire, why the double expression Aneni Hashem Aneni? We actually had this earlier as well. Why is Hashem saying the word, why is Eliyahu saying the word Aneni twice? Malamed Sha'amah Eliyahu, I need you to answer me on two things. I need you to answer me by sending down a fire and consuming everything on the Mizbeach, and that way everybody will realize that you have power, unlike Nevi HaBaal, who weren't able to accomplish that with their korban. The Aneni Shetasiach Daitam, and also answer me that you should distract them. In other words, you should prevent a thought of rishus from coming into their mind, that they shouldn't say that this was done by kishuf. Which, after all, Marsha points out, you think about it, when Moshe and Aaron came the first few times to Pare, they also thought that they're doing it with kishuf. So now it's very possible the Jewish people might think that Eliyahu is accomplishing it with kishuf and not that Hashem actually did it. Shenema, as the pasuk says, "Va'atasi boisas liba macheranis." As Eliyahu continues in his tefillah, you have turned their heart backward, meaning that he's asking, don't turn their heart backward. Incline their minds in the right way that they should realize that Hashem who are the king and that this is not done and this is not done with Kishuv.
I'm not sure about that.
But who wanted to kill him? I don't recall saying anything. No, you have a whole thing, you have a whole interesting medrash that says that they hid Chiel, that the Nevi Abal hid Chiel Beisa Eli inside their Mizbeach, and they give a signal to him to light a fire when they give him the signal and they end up getting killed by a snake. But no, nobody at that time was out to get Eliyahu. Afterwards, after that story, Zevil threatened to kill Eliyahu, which is why he had to run away. But Shas Maisa, no. Which, by the way, this Vata Sabosas Liga Machiranis, the Gemara mentions elsewhere, the Medrash mentions elsewhere, that's like Eliyahu was complaining, they're saying to the Eibishter, you know what, you have it in your power to make it that the Jewish people should do tshuva and do the right thing, so why don't you do it all along rather than allowing them to go the wrong way. But yeah. All right, further on, the Mishnah, the next Mishnah in Brachas talks about when you can say Shema in the morning, and it talks about when the udiest is that you can say it, and it says Mishiyakav and Tchelas Lolov. So then the Gemara says, Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. There are more opinions on that. We actually have two opinions in the Mishnah over there, Ben Tchelas Lolov on, Ben Tchelas Lekauti. Anyway, Tanya, Rav Meir Omer, Mishiyakav and Ze'ev Lekel. You can first say Shema in the morning when you can see the difference between a wolf and a dog, which are very similar, but they need a certain amount of light in the sky to see. Rabbi Akiva Omer ben Chamor La'aroi. Rabbi Akiva says, when you can see the difference between a domesticated donkey and a wild donkey, which also are similar. V'acherim Omer, and then Acherim say, which Tosfos points out, it's not printed here in Ein Yaakov, but usually Acherim means Rameir, but here evidently not, since we have Rameir himself earlier in the Braisa. Anyway, Acherim Omer, Mishayires Chaveru, Roch of Dalam Amos V'yakirem. It's the time is when you can see your friend, and it doesn't mean a good friend, but a like somebody who you sort of know, and you see him 4 amos away, but you can recognize him. So the halacha is like the acherim, and that's why when we talk about Mishayaku, the earliest time for Shema, that's the official definition of it, is when you have somebody who you sort of know, and you can recognize him 4 amos away. So actually, it's interesting. The Pnei Yeshua gives a reason why are they using these things. He says, because the idea, what's the idea? The morning Shema is supposed to be of Kumecha, when you get up. Now, what time are people getting up and going out on the road, for example? They're going to want to go at a time. So first, the opinions in the Mishnah are basing it on, since Shema is connected with Tzitzis, so therefore they're connecting Mishiyaka Mitchelos Lovan, Mitchelos Lekarti, which has to do with being able to recognize between the colors of the strings of Tzitzis. But then the opinions that we have here in the Braisa are taking the view, when is a person going to get up and go on a trip, when it's safe enough to, and when is it going to be safe enough, for example, when you can tell the difference between a wolf and a dog, so that wolves don't attack him on the way. Or the same thing when he can tell the difference between a domestic donkey and a wild one, again, because wild donkeys are very dangerous creatures. And then Acherim say, when you can recognize somebody who you sort of know 4 amos away, because in other words, then you'll have him accompany, then you'll accompany each other on the trip, and there's safety in numbers. Yeah, apparently people knew. I guess when you're living around Chamorim, you get to know him. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the same way as now. You know, you have some people who can tell the difference between 1 year's model car and the next, and then you have other people who barely know the difference. I guess, yeah. Whatever. Okay. The point is, if this is something that you deal with every day, and it's time a car dealer who can recognize those things more than, well, okay. So a person who has a donkey and uses it every day is going to notice these things. Okay. So Abaye says, when it comes to tefillin, the earliest time is like acherim, when you can recognize somebody 4 amos away. When it comes to krishma, though, the right time to say it is the way the Vosikim did it, which now there's various Rishonim talk about. There's a long Tosfos in Yuma, of all places, that talks about it, because there's a sugya there about the Zman Krishma. Different Rishonim talk about the ins and outs of that. Abaye is not necessarily saying you can't say Shema earlier, but he's saying the ideal way to do it is like the Vasikin, namely right before Netzachah. And Tosfos also mentions over there, even the Vasikin would agree that you have until Sholosh Shoros Bayoyim, as the Mishnah says over here. So we're just talking, Abaye is just talking about the ideal time to say it is right before Netzachama. The word Vasikin, by the way, Rashi over here explains Anoshim Anovim or Mechabvin Mitzvahs. It means people who are humble and love the Mitzvahs. Later on in the Masechta, you also have the expression, and Rashi says the people who want to do the mitzvah at the best possible time. And the Vasikin would finish Shema right at Netzachama, so that way they could daven Shemana Esrei right after that at Netz, which is the concept of a Vasikin minion that we're all familiar with. Tanya Namihochi, similarly in the Braisa, Vasikin, how you gromim osa ima Netzachama, the Vasikin would finish Shema at the time of a Netzachama, Kadesh Yismach Gaul of the Tefillah, so that way they could have right after Gaul Yisrael, they're going to go into Shemana Esrei, Venimtsim is followed by Yom, and that way they're saying Shemana Esrei at the first possible moment in the morning, which is the right time to do it, which is the best time to do it. Amr Abzeda Maikra, where's a pasuk that expresses this point, that it's a mitzvah to daven, as it's a daven Shemana Esrei right at Netzachama. The pasuk says, Yiru'ucha im shamesh, they will feel you Hashem with the sun, meaning as soon as the sun is rising, which Rashi actually learns a little differently, that Yiru'ucha refers to Shema, which is when we're makabel, Omath HaShemayim, and when we do that, im shamesh, just as the sun is about to rise. So that way, in other words, you're davening Shemana. So Shemana Esrei is after Netz, but Shema is shortly before the sun rises. The lifnei yareach dorim, and before the moon for generations upon generations, which Rashi says means that mincha also is best daven late in the day as the sun is setting. Now, Marsha learns differently. First of all, Marsha says the vort is that we want to demonstrate. Now, like this, we had earlier in the perek, we said that the Malchei Mizrach Maida of the Goyish kings every morning would get up and then put on their crowns and bow to the sun. So we show Fakert, as the sun is rising, is when we're saying Shema and we're saying Shemana Esrei, that we're acknowledging Hashem's kingship. And the Lefnei Yareach Dordim, the Lefnei Yareach, Marsha says doesn't refer to Mincha, since when do we find that there's a particular inyan to daven Mincha just as the sun is setting? He says rather it refers to Maidin, the Birkas Kriya Shema over there also. Both in the brachas of Shema of the morning and of the evening, we're acknowledging that Hashem created the sun and the moon, unlike these goyim who think that those things themselves run the world. So therefore, the Fnei Yareach, before the moon rises at night, then we're right away saying Ma'ariv as early as possible and acknowledging that the Eibishter created the moon. So the Gemara continues. Heyed Rabbi Yosi ben I just have Reish Yod. I don't know what it expands to. Ben El Yakim Mishum Kahola Kadi. I think it's Rabbi Yitzchak actually. Anyway, whatever. Ben El Yakim Mishum Kahola Kadisha de Yerushalayim. Rabbi Yosi. Okay, so Rabbi Yosi ben El Yakim. Yeah. Heyed Rabbi Yosi ben El Yakim Mishum Kahola Kadisha de Yerushalayim. He testified in the name of the holy community of Yerushalayim. Which on the side of the Gemara, you have printed, not here in Ein Yaakov, but on the side of the Gemara, there's a pirush printed from Reb Nissim Goin, where he brings from various Midrashim, what exactly was this Kahala Kadisha de Birshalayim, who they were. It included Reb Shimon ben Manasseh, who was mentioned in Perek Vav of Pirkei Avos, and a couple of other Chachamim, and the idea was that they had their day arranged very well, a third of the day for davening, a third of the day for learning, a third of the day for being, for working for Parnosa. Anyway, they were called Kahala Kadisha de Yerushalayim. So he gave Adris a new name, Kola Soimach Geula the Tefila, a person who puts Geula next to Tefila, who says Gal Yisrael, and right away she says Shemana Esrei, Einen Nizek Kola Yom Kuloi, will not be harmed that entire day. We talked about earlier in the parak, actually, the idea behind one among the ideas behind being Soimach Geula the Tefila. There was an idea brought from Rabbeinu Yonah that says the idea that Eibush took us out of Mitzrayim is not just that we should be free, in order that we should serve the Eibishter. So by doing Geula and then Tefillah, we demonstrate that we understand that truth, that the purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was Tavim Salikim Alahor Azeh, and therefore such a person who brings himself to that level is Ein Nizik Kolayim Kula, the Eibishter is on his side the entire day. Marsha, in fact, points out that you have right after where the Gemara is going to bring soon the Pasuk Yiru L'Rotzen, who say at the end of Shemana Esrei, and right after that is Yam Chashem, the Yam Tzara. hinting at this idea that even on a day of tzara, if you did the right thing, then Yan Hashem, the Eibishter answers you and prevents you from having to deal with that. So we're talking about the idea of davening kavasikim, that a person says Shema and the brachas of it right before Netzachama, and then they start Shemana Esrei exactly at Netzachama. But we're saying more generally, there's the idea of being soimach ga'ula l'tefillah, that you say Gal Yisrael and right away go into Shemana Esrei. So doing it Netzachama, we're saying, is ideal. But we're saying, aside from that, there's the general point that you have to be soimach ga'ula l'tefillah. Which actually Tosfos says, I mean, everybody does that. The Gemara is going to say in a couple of lines that we're going to mention, we're going to mention Reb Bruna, who was particularly, he was very happy one day when he was semech go'ol ol tefillah. So what's the big deal? Tosfos says everybody does that. That's how it's printed in the Siddur. The answer is that that particular time, Reb Bruna managed to do it like Vasikin. He managed to time it exactly and be able to do it like Vasikin. And that's why especially he was happy that he had that space. So yeah, so there is the particular Indian of doing it, and that's a chama, but we're saying more generally, there was the idea of being same with Gaul or Tefillah, whenever it is that you daven. So the Gemara says, Amr Abzera, Eini. So Abzera says, is that so? If a person is same with Gaul or Tefillah, then you're not harmed. I did Gaul right before Tefillah, like you're supposed to. The Itazki, and I was harmed. Omrulay, so the other Chacham told him, "Mamai itazkas, what do you mean? You're saying that you suffered harm. It was the amtius osel of Malka, that you were forced to bring Hadassim to the king's palace, which it's a big bother. It's a big bother. Mistamed involved expenses and whatever. So you're saying that was the harm? Hasim nami miborilach lemei of Adra lemechse api Malka. Fakir to see the king, it's worthwhile to spend to pay in order to see the king." To see the king is a big Indian. So don't think that it was a hezek that in order to do that you had to bring hadassim. Adarabi, you gained from it. A person should always make an effort to go to run to see Jewish kings. And not even just Jewish kings. Even to see Goyish kings. She'im yizkeh this way. If he's going to see the pomp and the glory and everything that comes with them. This way, if he has this chus, yavchin min malchei Yisrael l'malchei ovdei kochavim, he'll be able to see the difference between a Jewish king, lost and loving, when Mashiach comes, and a Goyish king. So therefore, so they're telling Reb Zera, Adarabi, don't think that you lost out by having to go to the king's palace and bring him a Hadassim. Adarabi, you gained a lot from that. Well, in other words, I guess the idea is we're meant to understand that there was a lot of effort and a lot of expense and whatever involved with it, Maybe he had to go cut it. Maybe he had to pay money to allow the guard for the guards to let him in. Maybe it cost money to get there in the first place. Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah.
Said that. So if you take mashke, you'll avoid taking medicines at home. Interesting. Okay. Note though that he doesn't say how much mashke, so it can mean in other words that one drop of it will also fashbar the medicines for the whole year. Okay. Anyway. The Gemara continues. Amalei Reb Ila la'ula. Reb Ila tells Ula ki ailas lahasam. When you go to there in the Gemara usually means Eretz Yisrael. Ula himself used to travel back and forth between Bavel and Eretz Yisrael. So Bamashtus is saying, when you go there, Shoel b'shloimer de Rabbruna ochi b'maimet kol achavura. Ask about the welfare of my brother of Rabbruna in the presence of the whole gathering of the Chachamim in the Beis Medrash. And that will show, that way you'll be showing him honor. And the reason he deserves that honor, the Adam Gadol, who is a great person, he's a great Talmid Chacham, b'sameach b'mitzvahs. And he has the maila of being happy when he accomplishes a mitzvah. For example, Reb Ila says, Zimna Chada Samach Ge'ula L'Tefillah. One time he was Samach Ge'ula L'Tefillah, which, as Tosfos says, doesn't just mean that he was able to do that, just that he says, Gal Yisrael and Shemana Esrei. We all do that, but that he was able to accomplish to do it exactly at Vasikin. And a smile didn't leave his face that whole day. That he was so happy that he had accomplished the mitzvah in the best possible way. So therefore, he deserves that kabod that you should ask how he's doing in the presence of all the Chacham. Because of one time, yeah. It shows that he's Sameach Mitzvah. It's a tremendous mila.
The Shliach
went to the... Yeah? Like, yeah? So the Gemara asks, Heichi Matzi Sameach, how are you able to put Geula next to Tefillah? Well, Amar Rav Yechon, but Tchilu Hoyim HaShem Sfasei Tiftach, we actually had this earlier in the Perek as well, that you have to start Shemini Esrei with the pasuk Hashem Svasei Tiftach all of a sofa Omi Yulorotzen Imi Fever Gomer, and at the end you say in the pasuk Yulorotzen. So at the beginning, the Gemara is assuming therefore that Hashem Svasei Tiftach is not actually part of Shemini Esrei. So necessarily, then you have that between Gal Yisrael and the first bracha of Shemini Esrei. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, Tehevet, Tefillah Shal Avos. So Rabbi Elazar says, okay, so we can say that you can be son of Ge'ulah Tefillah by Mayru. Question is, well, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ezehu Ben Ha'olam Abba, Zehu Asemach Ge'ulah Shal Avos, L'Tefillah Shal Avos. Didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that that a person who's a Ben Ha'olam Abba, which we also learned earlier, everybody has a Chelek Olam Abba, but it means that he has it, that means that he gets it without Yisurim, etc. So is somebody who's Somach Ge'ulah Shal Avos, L'Tefillah Shal Avos. So we see clearly that he's talking about Shal Avos, but the implication is that there's also the Indian to do that by other Tefillahs as well. Ella Amar Rabbi Elazar Tehevet Tefillah Samincha. So okay, Rabbi Elazar says, fine. So you have to say then that when you Samech Ge'ulah Tefillah is specifically by Mincha. So Rashi mentions, by the way, since the Ge'ula from Mitzrayim, as we talked about yesterday, was by day, they actually left Mitzrayim by day. Therefore, to be Samech Ge'ulah Tefillah by Ma'ariv maybe isn't so important, but by Shachris it's more essential. But anyway, so now we're saying maybe by Mincha. Rav Ashi says, no, the Samech Ge'ulah Tefillah can apply to all three tefillahs. The Kibben to Kavur Rabbanan, the tefillah, once the Chachamim established that you say Hashem Svasei Tiftach in Shemini Esrei, ke tefillah arich tadamya, then it becomes like a long, like an extension of the tefillah. De'ilo teima hochi, and after all, if you didn't say that, Arvis Eichi Motzi Samech, how would you be able to be Samech Ge'ulah Tefillah by my Revider? Well, boy, le meima hashkivenu, you have the Baruch hashkivenu, wouldn't that be a hefsik? Ela kibben the takinu rabbanan hashkivenu, once the Chachamim established the bracha to Ge'ulah arich tadamya, then we consider it an extension of the theme of Ge'ulah, and we talked about, when you learned about this earlier in the Perek, what Rabbeinu Yonah says, that what happened was, that night of the Ge'ulah from Mitzrayim, Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people are nervous, we're going to sleep, are we going to wake up in the morning, or are we going to be affected by Makas Bechoris as well? So they're davening on the theme of hashkivenu, l'shalom, v'amidenu l'chaim tovim l'shalom, and therefore that became an extension of God. Yisrael, Hachinami, Kivin de Kavur, Rabbanan b'Tefillah, the same thing when the Chacham set up Hashem Svasei Tiftach in davening, Ketfilah Arich Tadamya, then it's the equivalent of a longer davening, and therefore it's considered part of Shemini Esrei, and therefore, yes, when you say Ga Yisrael, and then go into Hashem Svasei Tiftach, then you are being Semech Ge'ulah L'Tefillah. It's true. So maybe the idea is by Mincha, we would say that maybe by Mincha, you don't have there's not a statutory part of davening that contains Gola, but maybe the idea would be that you would say something of a theme of Gola between Ashrei and Shemini Esrei. No such minute, but the Gemara is saying maybe you would do that. Maybe it's the only time you could do that In other words, maybe, and you know, there is, by the way, in Nusach Ashkenaz, they have before Hashem Svasei Tiftach in Mincha, they taka say the pasuk ki shem Hashem ekra havu gerda lo lekein. Because by Mincha taka, there's no problem of a hefsek between any previous bracha and Shemini Esrei. So maybe the Gemara is saying, as a havam, you know, that you would say, you'd say Hashem Svasei Tiftach, and then you'd say some other pasuk or something having to do with Geula, and then you'd go into Shemini Esrei. But the Gemara is saying it's not necessary.
Also, why did the Gemara mention that it would say, why is that a problem?
No, but Pashtus, once we're mentioning part of Rabbi Yochanan's statement, then we're mentioning the other half of it as well. So now let's talk about Yulerotz. And the Gemara says, Mechti, let's consider. Hi, Yulerotz and Imrefi, Mashmal of a soy for Mashma Meikra. Now that pasuk could equally well mean the tefillah that I just daven should be acceptable to you. It could also mean the tefillah that I'm about to daven should be acceptable to you. So, namely that we could be saying the tefillah that I'm going to say that you Hashem should accept it. My time at Takinu Rabbana La'achah Shemini Esrei. So why did the Chachamim said it that you should say it after Shemini Esrei? La'achah Shemini Esrei brachas. Why did the Chachamim say that you say it after the 18 brachas of Shemini Esrei? Maybe you should say it before. Maybe you should say both Hashem Svasei Tiftach and Yul Ratzin before Shemini Esrei. In fact, the Yerushalmi brings such a day. And actually, so in parenthesis over here, it mentions something that Maharsha says, which isn't over here, it's someplace else in Maharsha. Given that we're learning from you, Lerotzen Imrefi, and then Yancha Hashem B'Emtzara, we're learning the concept of Smichus Ge'ulah L'Tefillah, then it would make sense to say you, Lerotzen, right there at the beginning, after Gal Yisrael. So why Le'Mu Me'ikra? So instead, we should say it at the beginning. The answer is Amr of Yehuda Breda of Shimon Pazi, Hoyovale Amr David Elal Ach Shemaina Esther Parashias, because David himself said this pasuk only after 18 kapitlach til. Lefichach takin in Abban Lach Shemaina Esther Brachas. Therefore, to correspond to that, the Chachamim set up that you should say it after the 18 brachas of Shemaina Esther. So the Gemara asks, "Hani Tshmani Sreit Shasre Avan?" What do you mean 18 kapitlach? There's 19 kapitlach. The pasuk Yulerotzin is the last pasuk in kapitel Yud Tes. The answer is Ashrei Ish V'lomer Rog Shugoyim Chodeh Parshasim. The answer is the first two, what we have is the first two kapitlach tilim are actually one long kapitel, as the Gemara is going to go on to prove. So Marsha says, so in that case, Taka, why do we have it as 19 kapitlach? He says, because later on in the Masechta, we talk about when they added Birkas Aminim, originally Shemana Esra was 18 brachas, which is why we call it Shemana Esra, and later on Shmuel HaKotten had to add, Rabbi Gamliel HaZaken had to be Masakin, and Shmuel HaKotten composed the text of Birkas Aminim. So therefore, to correspond to that, they took one of the kapitlach tilim and split it in two, and that became the kapitel Aleph and Beis that we have. But originally, there were one long kapitel. So it would mean, according to that, they're really cooked. Actually, it's interesting. Reb Shmuel Heber has his three-volume sefer on Tillim. So he mentions there are actually midrashim that say that there are 147 kapitlach of Tillim. So where are the missing three? So one thing you could say, besides for this, maybe there were other ones that originally were one. In fact, the Teimanim actually have the Tseis Yisrael and Loi Lanu from Hallel. They have those as one long kapitel. It's mashma from the way that Amram describes in Hilchos Chanukah how to say Hallel. It's mashma that he had the same division. So you could conceivably say that there are kapitlach that we have split up that originally were one. But anyway, Rabbi Heber wants to say that maybe the vote is, maybe kapitel Aleph and Beis are sort of like an introduction to Tillim, really more than part of Tillim itself. And then when you have, for example, Kuf Yudalim and Kuf Tesvav or whatever, that originally were one kapitel, then you have like an introduction of one kapitel or two kapitlach, as we're saying over here, and then 147 kapitlach of Tillim. Interesting crap, yeah. So the Gemara says, and we can demonstrate that Ashrei, that the first two kapitlach were really originally one long kapitel. The Amr of Yehuda Breidid of Shimon Pazi, May of the Gimel Parshias Amar David. You see that David said 103 kapitlach of Tillim, V'loy Amar Haleluka, and never in any one of them does it say the word Haleluka. Ad Shirab Ma'palos and Shal Rishoyim, until he saw the downfall of the Rishoyim. Shenema, the last pasuk in Kapitel Kuf Dalad, says Yitamu Chatoyim Min Ha'aretz, the sinners, or as we're going to learn further on Amud Beis, the sins maybe will disappear from the earth. Rishoyim Oid Enam, and the Rishoyim will be no more. So Baruch Hinafshi Esasem Haleluka. So again, we have to ask, Hani, may have a Shalish, may have an Arba happen. What do you mean 103 Kapitlach? This is the end of Kapitel Kuf Dalad. So you see the same thing, that there was one kapitel, that there were two kapitlach that originally were one, and therefore he's talking about according to the original division, where that was at the end of kapitel Kuf Gimel. So the Gemara said, and we know that in turn. How do we know that it's dafka those two kapitlach, Aleph and Beis, that were originally one? Maybe it was other ones. So the Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yonasan or Rabbi Yechanan, kol parasha shoyse chaviva al David, any parasha, any kapitel tilim that was especially precious to David. Actually, before we get to that, actually worth mentioning something that Marsha mentions over here. Why is it that we don't say Hallel? Why is it that we don't say full Hallel the last days of Pesach? So the Gemara in Erchin brings a reason, because unlike with Sukkos, where every day they had different korbanos, and therefore in a certain sense every day is mini yomtiv, Pesach we have the same korban every day. So once the first day or the first 2 days in the Chutzlaretz of Pesach has passed, like there's no chiddush sort of. But then he brings those achronim who say achronim relative to him. Of course, we mean like, for example, the Maharil, who was a late rishon or early achron. Anyway, he brings and others bring that the reason is because since the Mitzrayim drowned on non-shvi'ish Pesach, then we don't want to say full Hallel. We don't want to be celebrating. So he says, based on what we're saying over here, it seems hard to understand. We're saying, back out, David is saying Hallelujah for the first time when he sees Mapalos and Chodeshah. Anyway, so the Amr of Shmuel ben Achmeni, Amr of Yonasan, and Rabbi Yechanan, kol parasha shoyse chaviva al David, any parasha that was particularly precious and important to David, pasach baba ashrei b'siyam baba ashrei. He started it and ended it with ashrei. And we have pasach ba ashrei dechtim ashrei hirish, v'siyam ba ashrei dechtim ashrei kol choyse boy. So therefore we see that's the beginning of Kapitel Aleph and the beginning and the end of Kapitel Beis respectively. So you see that all of that was originally one parasha, one kapitel. So Tosfos asks the question, what do you mean every kapitel? That's the only kapitel that begins and ends with Ashrei. So Tosfos says it doesn't mean only that. It means that any capital that begins and ends with the same word or the same expression is Chaviva al David. So for example, you have the Halalukas that begin and end with Halalukah. You have other Kapitlach Tillim that begin and end with the same words or the same phrase or whatever. The Rashba, by the way, also points out, Chachamim modeled on that. When we say brachas, we know that you have to have Me'en Chsima, Samoch Chsima. Before the end of the bracha, before the Baruch Ata Hashem, you have to have something on the theme of the bracha. Melech Ozo Mashiach, Mogin, Baruch Ata Hashem, Mogin Abraham, and so forth with all of the brachas. So they modeled it on this. We were saying that David composed certain Kapitlach Tillim that they begin and end on the same theme. Worth mentioning, by the way, the Medrash mentions that David picked up where Moshe Rabbeinu left off. We just made the siyum on the Torah. The Medrash says Moshe finished with Ashrei. The last thing he says to the Jewish people is Ashrecha Yisrael Michamorcha, and David starts with Ashrei Hish. So the Gemara says in this connection, Hanu Biryoni Dehavu B'Shiva Vusei D'Ramei. There were Biryonim living in Rameyu's neighborhood. Some of them, Farshim, say that it means that so Rashi says poritzim, wild people. So in other words, then according to that, biryonim would be meloshin burim, empty people. And a different possibility that some of them, Farshim, say it means listim, it means robbers. You have the famous biryonim from the time of the Churban, for example, others. So yeah. Anyway, there were such people in Rameyer's neighborhood. They were causing Rameyer a lot of trouble. So the mayor was davening for Rachmanos from Hashem that they should die. A number of them, Afroshim, say over here that maybe he's not outright davening that they should die. Maybe he's davening for Rachmanos for himself, and the result of that would be that they would die because he didn't think that there's any hope for them. Or another possibility is maybe he's davening that the biggest rachmanus on them should be that they should die in order that they shouldn't continue doing whatever it is they're doing. But Omrele Bruya Devesu, but Bruya, the mayor's wife, says to him, "My dad, what are you thinking? Mishum dechtiv yitamu chatoyim." The pasuk that we just quoted, chatoyim should disappear. Now, on Poshita level, the word chatoyim, the word chatoyim, actually, a number of the Mephoshim point out, can actually put two different sets of nekudas on it. The nekudas that we have in the pasuk and tillim, you look in a printed tillim, you'll see that the nekudas are such that it means sinners. It actually let's grab a sort of sinner and take a look. The nekudas that we have in Tillim is a regular patach on the ches and a dogish in the test. In the simple pshat, that means the sinners. However, the same word can also be, you could also read it as if it had a chatach patach under the ches and no dogish in the test, in which case it means the sins. So Bruya says to the mayor, "Miksiv choitim." After all, did David use the word choitim, which Marsha says then unequivocally that would mean the sinners? No, chatoyim ksiv. He uses the word chatoyim, which we can read it with the alternate nekudas, which would then mean the sins rather than the sinners. So therefore, in other words, David is hinting by that it's not good to daven for the death of these sinners. Rather, you should daven that their sins, that their averus should disappear. In other words, that they should do tshuva. Furthermore, she says, "Shofel sefer dekra." I can prove to you that's what David meant with this pasuk. The pasuk continues, "Rishoyim oid einam." The pasuk continues that Rishoyim won't exist anymore. So, what does it mean? "Kiven di tamu chatoyim Rishoyim oid einam." It means once the sins disappear, there won't be any more Rishoyim. As opposed to, in other words, if you say that chatoyim, as we have in the Kurdis in front of us in Tillim, means the sinners. So you got to ask, and if this group of sinners dies, so what? There's never going to be any ones again. There can't be new Rishoyim in the world. So therefore, obviously, David is telling us that what's going to happen is the Avedis will disappear. And once the Avedis disappear, in other words, once they do Tshuva, then there's no more Rishoyim Odeinim. So Ella, she tells him, "Boy rachmi alayu dilahadri b'tshuva." So daven for rachmanis for them that they should do tshuva, and then rishoyim odeinam, and then in fact they won't be rishoyim anymore. Which Marsha says, how does that work anyway? A person can daven for himself. Okay, akol b'dei shemayim chutzim yiras shemayim, but there's haboli tayim misayinoy. So a person can daven for himself that Hashem should help him do tshuva. That's included in haboli tayim. He wants to make himself pure, and he's asking Hashem to help him out with that. But how do you do it for somebody else? And Marsha wonders, how does that work? So he says, v'yesh liyashiv. He doesn't give details of how you could be miyashiv. And Nafi Yosef has a long thing about it, that he says that the vote is, sometimes you have people who are doing averus where taka, there's no hope for them. They're doing it because, or at least on the surface, there's no hope for them. They're doing it, they know full well what there's no particular circumstances or whatever that you can attribute what they're doing wrong. They're just doing it to stam v'shot b'nefesh. But then you have people who, because of their circumstances, for example, they're rich and therefore that caused them by yishman yishur and by yivot, or they're poor and ma'avir adas kona, or all kinds of other things like that. Those you can ask, those he says you can ask the Eivishter to help them out, but those circumstances shouldn't prevent them from doing tshuva. So sure enough, bo rachmi alayu b'hadri b'tshuva, sure enough, Meir davened for them and they did end up doing tshuva. So in this connection, the Gemara mentions omalayahu tzduki the bruria, a certain tzduki, or in the original uncensored Gemara is really the word is min, which is like the early Christians in particular. So he says to Beruya, a seeming contradiction in a pasuk. Ksiv roni akora lo yolada. The pasuk says, sing, you barren one who has not given birth. Well, what's the logic? Mishum de la yolda roni. What is she supposed to sing because she hasn't given birth? What is she singing for? Omrele, she says, same shatia, you fool, shofel sefer dekra, go look at down at the end of the pasuk, dichtiv, the same pasuk continues, ki rabim b'nei shemema m'bnei b'ula amar Hashem, there are more children of the desolate one, meaning the Jewish people, Yerushalayim in particular, than the children of the settled one. In other words, we Jewish people are going to end up having a greater number than the goyim, who've been living in peace all this time. So in fact, the Jewish people do have a future. We are having children. That's the Roni is for that. Elamai akora lo yolada. So why is she being described as barren and not having given birth? Means Roni Knesset Yisrael. It means the Navi is telling the Jewish people, be happy and sing out. Shadoma isha akora. You resemble an infertile woman in the sense shalo yolda bonim legehenim kabasaychu. She hasn't born children who, like you men, are going to wind up in Gehenna. So in other words, Marsha says that we're saying she was an akora in Golos. Now comes the Geula, then she's not an akora anymore. Therefore, Roni and the Lo Yolada. We're saying that the double expression means that even in Golos, when she even in Golos, she was in fact having children. She wasn't completely an akora, but those children did not wind up going into Gehenna like the men who accosted her in the first place. There's in a different place in Shas, there's a commentary from the Vilna Gaon on Sama Goddess and Sama Gantas, where he explains the vote is, we know the famous thing that the Eivishter gave Avraham Avinu, the choice by Bris Bein Absarim, Golos for what's for his descendants, Golos or Gehenim, and Avraham chose Golos. So therefore, Bruria is telling the Min along that theme, you Goyim and you Minim don't experience Golos, you're winding up in Gehenim. Whereas for us, the Eivishter gave us Golos instead. Yes, it's a very painful thing, and we were Akara during all that time, but nevertheless, that fresh foes that we don't have to deal with again. I'm assigning the title again. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola. What is today? Chofhei Tishrei. So the Osid Lava, we know there's going to be certain non-kosher animals that are going to be mutter to eat. So we have the various ones at the Pasuk list that each have one Simon Tara. So nowadays, they're all Tmeim and all also to eat. Bismana Gola, they will all be Tahar and be Mutter to eat. This is from a letter of the Rebbe. It's interesting because you have the famous thing, Osid Chazir li Tahar. I haven't seen anywhere else where anybody says about the other ones that they're going to be kosher, but here the Rebbe is saying that, yeah. So the idea is, the difference is that Eber says all the other Baalei Chayim Tmeim are going to have to wait until the Ve'asiruach HaTumah Avim and Aretz takes place. Then they're all going to be mutter to eat, as opposed to the Chazir is going to be Metaher Miyad. You have the famous expression, so the Rebbe is learning in this letter, the Chazir will become mutter right away, whereas the other ones will become mutter, but only at a later stage. Which brings us to Hilchas Ma'acholos Asuras, appropriately enough. We were talking the last few sefim about Basa B'Cholav, now continuing on other things involving Ma'acholos Asuris. There are certain things, if you send them with a goy, you have to have a double seal. You have to have a choysim b'sei choysim. They include wine and meat and fish that doesn't have a simen on it, that doesn't have scales on it. If you're sending it with a goyish messenger or a koshikin, if you're sending it with a yid, who's suspect of playing around with things, then you need two choysimis. But if the wine is mavushal or it's vinegar or milk, or bread or cheese, those things, one chosim is enough. Interesting thing. Ma'am Lawyers mentions a little tidbit on this that took place in the communities of Turkey and in times before him. He says at one point the Jews of those communities had to send meat with goyish messengers. They would write on the piece of meat itself the word kosher. The problem was that eventually the goyim figured out how to copy the letters. So then they came up with a new idea that they put the name of the parasha. That changes every week, so they wouldn't be able to copy it. Elamai, what happened was one time some enterprising goy or mishumud or whatever took the part of the meat that had the name of the parasha on it and cut it off and attached it to another piece of meat. So now they said you have to be careful to make sure the piece that has that is actually part of the original meat and not just some stuck on. But yeah. Rav Chananah ben Akasha, Emetzar, Kosh Baruch, Lezakas, Yisrael, Fikav, Lam, Tamitz, Shnei, Adonai, Chavetz, Mad,